Well, I'm always thankful when I get more questions, and we give you an opportunity to put questions in the offering, if you could. You have a place in your bulletin where you could just actually tear off a piece of paper. That's if you aren't rich enough to have a piece of paper on your own. We provide it for you right there in the bulletin, and you can tear off this piece that just says if you have a question, and if you put that in the offertory offering, we will be glad to try to answer those questions. We actually have gone a little bit behind, but this particular question, if you turn me to John chapter 20, John 20, we'll try to answer according to the Word of God. John chapter 20, the fact that some of you are quoting passages that you're reading and having questions about those passages, and it just really encourages me because it says that you're not only reading, but you're searching, and that's a wonderful thing. The question that we have here is, why does Jesus, at the end of John, which is the passage here in John 20, why does Jesus at the end of John say, receive the Spirit, specifically as he's talking to disciples, and then then lets them receive the Spirit, and then receive the Spirit at the book of Acts, or in the book of Acts in chapter 2? Are they receiving the Spirit of God twice? And so it's a good question. We come to the passage found in John chapter 20, and if you pick up with me in verse 19, this is where the text comes from. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Now, that's the setting. In other words, the disciples aren't feeling real bold. Jesus has resurrected from the dead, but they're still not convinced. And so there's a lot of fear. And in that fear, they have locked their doors. They are afraid of what might descend upon them. And the passage says, at this time, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, peace be with you. And he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. It's a great passage reminding us of the power of the Holy Spirit. The focus is that Jesus is conveying to his disciples their necessity for waiting on the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts, as he'll tell them in Acts chapter 1, wait until you receive power from above. If in fact they had not experienced what they are experiencing in this text, they wouldn't know exactly why they would have to wait. But the disciples are going to lead that 120 that is going to be up in the upper room, and they're going to tell them, be patient, we need to wait. Believe me, we can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why would that be true? Well, what they begin to experience is something beyond Jesus proclaiming peace to them. They're going to feel the peace of the Holy Spirit upon them. And they're going to realize in this setting, at this moment, that the Spirit of God is the one who brings the great peace, that within us will whelm peace, well-being. And that's why it's so necessary. I mean, you and I can go out and minister, and we can proclaim to people, you know, you just ought to be calm, take it easy, relax. And all those words are nice words. But unless the Spirit of God comes within them and brings the peace within them, they're not going to be at peace. They're not going to be whole. And so the power of the Spirit that comes in the name of Jesus Christ, and I think the other thing that's being related in this text is that Jesus is the source of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit. If you look all the way back and in John chapter 14 with me, it says this in verse 26. Jesus says, I've spoken these things while abiding with you, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is coming forth from the person Christ. And if you look with me again in John 15 and verse 26, Jesus proclaims this: "When the Helper comes, whom I will send," who? Jesus, "will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth," which is the spirit of all comfort, because the spirit of truth is that which is the spirit of sincerity and genuineness and of that which is right and good. "The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." Once again, the emphasis of me. So in John chapter 20, what we see is the disciples are directly making the contact that the Spirit of God comes from Jesus Christ, who loved them so much, which you'd be ready to accept if you knew the Savior. If you knew the Savior, you'd be ready to accept his Spirit within you because you knew how much he loved you. "Yes, breathe on me." And Christ revealed to them that wonderful power that comes only through the Spirit, and why it is so necessary for them to go out and release others through the Spirit of God. In other words, if you'll release people, they'll be released. You need to do it in the Spirit of God. Serve and minister in the Spirit of God. This is where your power is. This is where your source is. And as we begin to direct people to the person of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God moves upon them and begins to free their life, something that we could not do. And so if you turn to Acts chapter 1, you see where Christ himself says, "Wait, wait." You look again, Acts chapter 1 and verse, we'll pick up in verse 4. "Gathering them together, he," that is Jesus, "commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed on his own authority, but you shall," this is the key verse in verse 8, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses." In other words, the power is in the Spirit of God. "Then you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, the day occurs in which they received the Spirit of God. When you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 tells us the Spirit of God comes within us. And he's the one that brings the healing in our lives. Until God does the work, there is no healing. It doesn't matter how much Pastor Gary talks. It doesn't matter how much anybody else talks and tries to comfort. There is no comfort aside from the comfort of God. And 2 Corinthians 1 says, he is the God of all comfort. So we turn to him. God was revealing at that one moment, "Men, you need to wait." And I can just see them. They go, "Whoa, we need to wait for this power, because this is the power that brings us peace and comfort in the midst of turmoil." Father, we give you thanks that you have sent to us the Spirit of well-being, the Spirit of peace within our hearts. The Spirit of Jesus Christ has been breathed upon us as we have received the love of God in our hearts. You tell us in your word, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, even to those who believe on his name." We give you thanks for this transforming power that has taken us out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of a beloved Son. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.